If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
Don Jackson Blattner joins us now, though. Usually on Thursdays at this time, the author and registered dietitian and nutritionist that you follow on Instagram at DJ Blattner. Hi, Don. Welcome back.
Hey. Hello. My favorite time of the week, Thursdays with John Williams.
Well, what a nice thing of you to say. Thank you for coming to the Mincing Rascals podcast the other night.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, I hope you keep doing that because that was one of the most fun nights. It was so great. My husband and I really enjoyed ourselves.
Yeah, it was nice of you to come. I had no idea you were going to be there. I saw you on your way out the door. First time I met your handsome husband.
Yep. Handsome husband indeed.
And it was a spirited, fun, sometimes very funny conversation about the day's news, wasn't it?
Yeah, and that's what I really like. I like hearing about the current events in Chicago, different points of view, different perspectives, but in this sort of like you said, lighthearted approach. So thanks a lot. It was a great time.
Snacks are sabotaging our health. Headline from Don Jackson Blattner. Why do you say that?
Oh my gosh, I can't believe it. So a couple of weeks ago, a study came out that said, listen up. Even if you're somebody who's eating healthy meals, so you say, oh, look at me, I'm eating all the salads, I'm eating all the roast chicken and all my Brussels sprouts, I'm doing such a great job at my mealtime. But if your snacks are unhealthy, that it was actually linked. Even if you're eating all these healthy meals, you're having unhealthy snacks, you feel hungrier, you have a higher BMI, you have more belly fat, your triglycerides are worse. And all of these things are linked to things like heart disease and obesity and stroke. And so I think it's shocking because I think we all know, hey, if you're eating unhealthy all the time, okay, fine, you're going to have some health issues. But this study is saying even if your meals are great, if your snacks are not on point, you could be in trouble. And so I thought, you know, it's so true because, you know, the average snack is about 2 snacks a day. That's people are snacking about twice a day. So that really is 2 opportunities every single day to improve nutrition. And the snacks in the study where people were eating unhealthy things were things like cookies and brownies, cakes, pies, pastries and donuts, ice cream, granola, cereal bars, chips, candy, you know, all the stuff you can grab in between healthy meals and not maybe feel that bad about it because you're like, oh, I'm eating healthy. But these snacks are sabotaging us. So when I think about a snack, you know what else is in this study I thought was interesting? Is the worst snacks happened at, and I think we can all agree, 9 p.m. and after. That is the highest likelihood of these unhealthy snacks happening.
Really?
Yes. Late night eating is a big thing. After dinner munching, watching TV, snacking on this stuff. So anyway, the whole moral of this story is, listen, take snack time, take it seriously. The best snack really is fruit with like a handful of nuts, or it could be, you know, like an apple and almonds or grapes and pistachios or, you know, even like berries thrown in a plain Greek yogurt. I really like, which is controversial, I really like carrots and peanut butter. Have you ever had that combination?
My son's always eating peanut butter with something like that, but I thought peanut butter was kind of either processed or sweet. I don't know. Don, what about peanut butter?
Yeah, so if you get peanut butter that has added oils and added sugar, don't buy it. Just forget about it. But if you have peanut butter that only the ingredients on there is just peanuts, or could have peanuts with a little bit of sea salt, that's a really good for you food. In fact, peanuts are in the legume family, so they happen to be even higher in protein than most other actual, like, tree nuts. So peanut butter is great as long as you're buying the right kind, which is just peanuts in the ingredient list. But, you know, that's kind of the snack and nut version when you're looking for, a fruit and a nut for a snack. It's great, and it's so easy. You know, it doesn't take any extra effort to do something like that.
Here's some questions for you, Don. This came in via email. John, could you ask Don about Morton Light Salt? It claims to have 50% less sodium than regular table salt. Is this actually better for me than regular salt?
Okay, so salt is a really tricky thing. The answer to that quickly is yes, there is less sodium in there. So if you're somebody who's watching sodium, that is an option for you. It's great. However, the bigger actual question here is where are people actually getting their salt? And it is not from a salt shaker. That 80% of your sodium is coming from processed foods or dining out. It is not enough to ditch a salt shaker or to buy lower sodium salt. It really is important to start reading labels and looking at sodium levels on things that you probably think are healthy already. You know, a lot of people think, oh, all my salt is coming from chips or all my salt is coming from all these snacks. I don't eat that. No, even your healthy breads can have a lot of sodium. So really paying attention to the processed foods is the number one thing you can do if you're watching salt. The other thing that's very interesting in this country is that we are obsessed with cutting out sodium, lowering sodium, lowering sodium. But the other side of the coin is we have to increase potassium. These are two electrolytes that balance each other. And so eating more potassium in your diet actually helps blood pressure. And potassium is found in fruits and vegetables. So no wonder we have such a problem with blood pressure, because nobody, 9 out of 10 people, are not eating the 3 cups of vegetables and 2 cups of fruit that we're supposed to eat every single day. And if we did that, our sodium would and our blood pressure would also be better off by having that potassium-rich diet.
I'm in the habit of trying to exercise when I get home from work. For the people that get home from work or school, and they know they want to exercise and eat dinner, does it matter if I exercise and then eat, or eat and then exercise? Is there any difference, Dawn, in the order of those events in the early evening?
Yeah, so probably the best option is to eat more after your workout. So people do things like meal splitting, where they say, okay, you know, this is what I'm going to eat for dinner. I'm going to have a little bit beforehand, and then I'm going to eat most of it afterwards. That is a recovery meal. So the muscles that you just worked, having that meal after helps those muscles be prepared to do that same thing tomorrow. So that's a great rule of thumb. Or if you are really feeling like, you know what, all I need is just like a little handful of grapes and some almonds, like a little snack, go work out and then have your actual dinner. That's a great idea.
I was wondering if one would lend itself more to the other in terms of digestion or absorption or capturing the nutrients, or for that matter, ridding the bad stuff. You know, if I'm exercising, maybe after I eat, then I'm better processing the food. But I think I would rather exercise first and then eat rather than the other way around.
Yeah, so bottom line is eating too much, like having a full dinner right before a workout, you will have low energy because all of your energy is going into your stomach to digest that dinner that you just ate. So you are definitely not supposed to eat full meals right before a workout, and it's better to have a full meal after a workout as a recovery meal where you can replenish all the glycogen or fuel sources you just used. However, this is an important however. However, you are absolutely right that if you were to eat a big meal and then go for a 5 or 10 minute walk, like it doesn't even have to be exhaustive exercise, just a little walk, that you will be better able to process that meal. Your muscles will help you even more with managing all the blood sugar that just changed by eating. So doing a workout, having your big meal, and then not just flopping on the couch, but, you know, even just like a little 5 minute, you know, cool down walk could be something to add.
You ready for some questions from our listeners, Dawn?
Yes, I am. As long as we are also going to talk about that pumpkin French toast muffin recipe, I have never been more proud of myself.
All right, let's do that first. Go.
Okay, fine. Listen, 6 ingredients. Stir together and put in the oven and made these pumpkin French toast muffins. Here are the ingredients.
Yep.
I use sprouted whole grain bread, eggs, Greek yogurt, canned pumpkin, maple syrup, and then pumpkin pie spice. I stir this all up together and put it in muffin tins, 350 degrees, like 25 minutes or so. And here's the claim to fame. This is why I love them. It's because I wanted to have a pumpkin muffin from Starbucks. And what I did is I looked up the nutrition, and I was like, oh, my gosh, That muffin has 350 calories, and it has 34 grams of added sugar, which is more than a whole day's worth of added sugar. So I said, I could do better. So I made these muffins. These muffins, not 34 grams of added sugar. My muffins, only 6 grams of added sugar. And each one has 10 grams of protein for muscle health. So I have never been more proud. They taste delicious, in fact. I gave them to a girlfriend, and she was like, oh, my gosh, I love these. I love these. She made them already twice herself. So bottom line is, this is a winner of a recipe.
So you put the bread, you mix it all up, it's kind of goopy, and then you bake it? Is that what you do?
Yes. In no world did I think they were going to be as good as they are. But it's basically like, think about French toast. It's like you're whisking up, you know, eggs and milk and just dipping the bread in. And instead of doing it that way, I have it cut up into little squares and mix it all together and then put it in the muffins. And they look like little muffins. Oh, they are the best. I really encourage you.
This recipe is on your website and on your Instagram page. Real quick, the 6 ingredients are?
Okay, sprouted whole grain bread, eggs, Greek yogurt, canned pumpkin, maple syrup, and pumpkin pie spice. That's it.
Pumpkin pie what?
Spice. You know, like it has cardamom and ginger and nutmeg and cinnamon all in there.
312-981-7200. Carrie, you're on WGN with Don Jackson Blattner. What can we do for you, Carrie?
Okay, I have downloaded an app, Lose It. And I have faithfully been documenting everything that I put in my mouth for 45 days. I got on the scale last night. I have gained 10 pounds.
Well,
no, John, don't laugh.
Yeah, but I mean, you're documenting it doesn't mean you're eating right. So what's your question?
The question is, the app says I can have 1,780 calories a day, which I have, you know, sometimes I have a little bit less than that, but never more for 45 days.
Really?
What do you think I'm doing wrong?
Okay, so this is the frustration that everybody has when it comes to losing weight, especially when you're putting in effort like that. So I feel your pain, and I definitely have clients who have felt your pain as well. So bottom line is, calories are just a guess in this world. Calories-ish is really what this is all about. And most of the time, it ends up being that the calories on packages are a little bit off and our portioning of things is a little bit off. So as opposed to being sort of, you know, just so dictated in those numbers, this is what I teach my clients. Take a look at what you're already doing. Take a look and then make the ever so slight tweaks to each thing. So if you are currently eating, you know, this type of stir fry for dinner, slowly have a little bit less of the rice, even though you think it's a little bit less already, have a little bit less of the chicken, even though you feel like you're already eating a little bit less, have a little more of the veggies and start shifting those ratios a little bit. Even if you feel like your calories are on track, it usually is a ratio issue, needing more of the vegetables and a little bit less of the other thing.
Are you exercising as well, Carrie?
Well, no, I mean, I work 5 days a week, and I get 10,000 steps in, but that's not the exercise you're talking about, I'm sure. Probably twice a week, I go to the gym.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, one last thing, Carrie, good luck to you, and I hope you can heed Dawn's advice. But, Dawn, do you also get the feeling that despite her frustration for about 6 weeks, 7 weeks now, it will catch up with her, that she will see those numbers go down, right?
Here's the thing. Usually when you are so mindful like that, paying attention to everything you're eating by recording it, yes, that it ends up being that in the end, you do benefit from health-wise. Even if it isn't a total slam dunk in the weight department, you know, you're eating usually more fruits and vegetables because you're logging. You're usually eating less junk food because you're logging. So mindfulness is huge. But I will say more than not, it usually is that ratio that gets people. And it's just, don't look at necessarily the numbers. Just take what you're doing right now and know, just do a little bit better with the ratio.
Good luck to you, Carrie. How about Gloria? You're on WGN with Don Jackson Blattner. What can we do for you, Gloria?
All right. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you.
All right, good. I go swimming twice a week, aqua therapy class for seniors.
Yeah.
And we're there at least from 8:30 to 10, an hour and a half class. I want to know, what is the best thing to eat before the class, because I'm usually starving afterwards, and I don't want to overdo afterwards.
Yes, I think this is a great question. And, you know, to respect people who are doing exercise, it's so amazing that you're fitting it in your day. That's wonderful. And know that the other 23 hours were not very active, you know. So even when we are doing exercise for, you know, an hour a day or more, is being mindful that we're probably not as active for many, 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 many more hours. So not overdoing it is really the name of the game. And so the first thing to note is most people who swim are so hungry after swimming because they are actually dehydrated. Swimmers are notorious for forgetting to drink enough water before swimming and during swimming because they're surrounded by water, so they sort of forget to drink. And so an elevated appetite after extreme exercise or after any really type of activity is usually a first sign of dehydration. So my first recommendation is to drink more before you swim and during your swimming. Second thing would be having a balanced breakfast is your recovery meal after swimming. So a balanced breakfast would be something like a couple of eggs with some spinach, a piece of toast, and calling it a day, maybe a couple berries. And then that breakfast is actually all you need as a recovery meal. You don't need an additional meal or any additional things besides that breakfast.
I think that hydration thing is really critical too. Gloria, good luck. Thank you for the call. Don, we got about a minute left. You go as fast as you can on these. You ready?
Okay, ready.
May I have the dietitian's thoughts on the carnivore diet?
Oh, so carnivore diet is exactly what it sounds like. People are eating primarily meat, a little bit of fruit, but really no vegetables, no beans, no nuts. So I take a global approach to nutrition. I look at the people who are living the longest in the world and what they are doing, and they are not following a carnivore diet. They are following more of a Mediterranean-style diet, so I'm out on that and more into the Mediterranean vibe where it's a lot of different healthy plant-based food groups.
Which oil is better, olive oil, avocado oil, or peanut oil?
Olive oil, hands down.
What about this? Larabar with dates and cashews as a nice alternative to a candy bar. Is it okay to snack on that? Larabar? I don't know what that is.
Okay, I love this question because that's what a lot of these protein and energy bars are. They are glorified candy bars. So if you are doing it instead of a candy bar, yes, that is a great idea. If you are thinking that you're putting these energy bars and protein bars in your life and you're doing yourself a healthy thing, think again. You're most likely eating 200, 300 calories, aren't getting very full, and would be way better off eating actual real food as opposed to a bar.
One last thing, in an analysis of 100 of the top most frequently asked questions online in a variety of categories, one of the questions in health and nutrition is, how can I lose face fat? Is there... We've talked about belly fat and arm fat, but I mean, what do you know about the ability of the body to lose fat in certain places?
It's so interesting. I did not know that was a top question, but I will tell you the clear answer here is there is no such thing as being able to spot reduce or spot treat any part of your body. So when you lose weight from everywhere. So that means, you know, belly or thigh or face, whatever we're talking about, it is all the same. You need to have this overall sensible, balanced diet, add exercise, make sure you're sleeping and doing stress reduction, and that is going to help overall. But you can't spot treat, unfortunately.
Don Jackson-Blattner, author and registered dietitian and nutritionist. Don, are you putting that pumpkin French toast muffin recipe on your webpage as well at donjacksonblattner.com?
Yes, so a recipe will be on the website, and the actual video how-to is on Instagram.
DJ Blattner on Instagram. Thank you, Don. Can we do this next week?
Would love to. Thanks, John.